The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you had a great weekend. My wife and I were in Little Rock over the weekend. We're taking a few Sundays off from First Baptist Texarkana, where I pastor, and we were visiting our youngest daughter there in Little Rock and had a wonderful time with her and went to church with her at New Life Church there in Little Rock. And I got to meet the pastor, and small world. So I was mentioning to him, he's a golfer, and I was mentioning to him my friend Zach Fisher, who is a golfer on the Corn Ferry Tour. And he said to me, well, I play golf with Zach Fisher. And so anyway, it was kind of a cool deal. And Zach's been on the program before. He's the only guy to have ever won the qualifying school tournament, Q School, which is very, very difficult. He's won it twice. And he is currently on the Corn Ferry Tour, did very well in the last tournament, finished in 12th place, and hopefully is going to catapult himself into a good position for the end of this year. You know, golf is so difficult. You have to be in the top 75 in the Corn Ferry Tour to stay on. Otherwise, you go back to qualifying school. And if you're in the top 20 in the Corn Ferry Tournament, you get to go to the PGA. Well, I wanted to share with you 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul says this, beginning in verse 23. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. He says, before that, to the Jews I became a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of God, so that I might win those who are without law. He says, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel. Now, I want to talk to you today about this subject. What happens when the church goes too far in trying to reach people that they compromise the message? It was Charles Spurgeon who said during the 1880s, the downgrade controversy, Charles Spurgeon, who is known as the Prince of Preachers, he is quoted as saying this, a time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. I saw an ad for a church. They were advertising their July summer series, which they said was on par or right underneath Christmas and Easter, is their summer series at the movies. This was the ad. It's not the ad. Okay. They're very excited about this summer series. Here it goes. Does it work now, Jay? No. We're having technical problems. We had some technical problems this morning, but that's okay. Well, I want to have this discussion because I think it's important, and some churches seem to just say, well, it doesn't matter because we're reaching lots of people, and if we reach lots of people, the proof is in the pudding, and don't criticize what God is blessing, but Can it be that we go too far in trying to reach people that we become clowns entertaining the goats? Now, to help me with his discussion is my friend Clint Presley, the pastor of Hickory Grove Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. So, Clint, welcome, my friend. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Brother, I appreciate you having me. Sure do.
Well, Clint, you're no stranger to churches that do this kind of stuff. One of the churches is in your town that has been known for that. I've heard Stephen Furtick say that once you become a Christian at Elevation Church, that the church is no longer for you. It exists to reach people for Christ. And so I sent you that link about At the Movies and the church going all out in July to have movie themes and Ghostbusters sermons and Jurassic right. Park sermons. What do you make of all that?
Yeah, of course, I don't like it. And I don't think it's my age, although I'm getting older. I don't think it's because I'm an old man. I don't like it for multiple reasons. I think, basically when you attract people with something, that's what you got to keep them with. I think you distract from the gospel. I think Sunday comes off as frivolous. I think the idea of church necessarily and primarily being really a lot of fun shows up. I think and I want to be careful because I think some of these guys are like really well-intentioned. Like their heart is to see people come to Christ. They want to see right. people won to Christ by any means possible. And I think that you set people up for for false conversions.
Yeah.
Like I saw a report today of one church that had, multiple hundreds of people that indicated that they had professed Christ. And, it makes me nervous for them.
Yeah, it's a concern for sure. And, does that get people in the door? Yes. I've heard John MacArthur and others say, like the prosperity gospel, for instance. Well, you're appealing to everything that the lost person wants. The devil's temptation in Matthew 4, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world if you'll bow down and worship me, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. If that's going to be your tactic, then you're going about things the wrong way, and that person is not turning from sin and turning to Christ. They're saying, oh, Jesus is here to help me make money or to better my marriage or give me some promotion. Joel Osteen is big on your promotion is coming. When you do stuff like that, Clint, where's the next step? Where do you go from there?
Yeah, I think, and I do think that multiple churches that do this sort of thing, and one of the problems is they actually do it pretty well. I mean, like they have the money to put it on, and it is produced well,
yes,
and executed with excellence. And so that even, in my estimation, makes it even worse because that does, I think that sets up people, I mentioned false conversion, but let's say they are converted. If they move to another city, it makes it very difficult for them to get involved in a church that may not be structured like that. I think it removes the understanding of worship, the standing in awe of God, the depth of sin, the need for Christ, the beauty of grace. I think that when you do things like that, oftentimes that excellent approach and execution of At the Movies can outshine the beauty of the gospel that you're trying to present.
Yeah.
And I just think it's and I'm not trying to press for the regulative principle. I do think, however, you could use that in some capacity to guide what you do on a Sunday morning.
Yeah. Well, and how much, Clint, do you think that influences the young guys that are starting out saying, oh, I guess that's the way you do it? I know Rick Warren had tremendous influence with pastors for a long time. You need to have a purpose-driven church. There's nothing wrong with having purpose. We need to have purpose in what we do and have an end in sight. But he made the statement, I was at a conference that he did, he made the statement that, you shouldn't be critical of what God is blessing, but we need to be able to critically discern, is this from the Lord or is this just something you're doing that seems to be working. But just because it's working doesn't mean it's right.
Right, right. And that's the danger of pragmatism. The danger of pragmatism executed well is that it masquerades as actual gospel content. You can make it sound like it's working. And if it's working, that's really dangerous. You know, pragmatism fails. It's helpful because we can point out and say, see, it doesn't work. But when it actually works, when crowds do come and multiplied hundreds do indicate that they've, you know, prayed to receive Jesus, that can be demoralized. And, you know, you mentioned young pastors. I don't know that it's something young pastors can model themselves after. Maybe they can if they're at a church with a lot of money, but I think it can be demoralizing because, you know, it can indicate to young guys that are trying to be faithful, preaching the Bible, that, you know, that it doesn't work, when indeed we know that it does work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, and I've said this multiple times on the program, you know, guys like Noah. Noah's one of my favorite Old Testament saints because he didn't have... You know, you talk about pragmatism. Hey, Noah, what you're doing is not working. No one is responding other than your own family. And yet he was faithful to do that for 100 to 120 years, depending on how you see that. Clint, as president of Southern Baptist Convention, there are a lot of guys that are pastoring small churches, and they're not seeing a lot of exciting things happen that we would say, oh, look at this. When those guys see at the movies or something like that, you had mentioned being demoralized. Do you ever have some of those guys ask you about, well, maybe I'm doing it the wrong way because I'm not seeing results?
Yeah, I don't have that question as much. I think a lot of the young guys that are coming out of our seminaries right now, they have been exposed to a different approach to ministry, a deeper theology, a call for expositional preaching. I think to some degree, a lot of what Nine Marks has done has helped kind of reorient even approach to music and worship. What is Sunday for? Is it primarily an evangelistic crusade or is it something else? What do we do on Sundays? Mm-hmm. And I think if when you ask that question, you get your answer. What are we doing on Sundays? Then you can maybe employ the phrase of a purpose-driven church. But we need to know what our purpose is. Is our primary purpose to be a crusade, or is the primary purpose to worship God on the Lord's Day? Which that's sort of doxological evangelism. You lift up Christ, and he will draw people to himself. You don't lift up Super Mario Brothers.
Right. I mean, it gets ridiculous. And, you know, I was watching some of those clips from the churches that were doing. They did Super Mario Brothers. They did Ghostbusters. And, you know, the kids are all enthralled with that because it's like going to the circus. But you think to yourself, what would the Apostle Paul think if he went to that church? Yeah. He had a little trouble with Corinth. I mean, this would be like blowing his mind.
Well, and oftentimes the people going there are going to be well-intentioned parents, for instance. They have children, well-intentioned parents that want their kids to be in church, know that that is a good and right thing. That there's enough residue of Christian culture around to know that's a good thing to do, want their kids to enjoy it. So they're going to go where their children want to go. So instead of leading as a parent, you're actually being led by what do you think the children will enjoy? Mm-hmm. And I think that's an upside down way to provide leadership.
Well, one of the things that Clint that really impresses me about you is your time at Dauphin Way, because as we talked last time you were on the program, we talked about that. You went there. That church was in major disarray. The church had split. You're kind of coming into a war zone, so to speak, a lot of hurt feelings. The church was down. How many people were there when you got there?
On a rainy day in July, we had 243. This is the very lowest.
Morale is pretty low at that point, I'm assuming.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was terribly low. In fact, my morale was low. It was a hard. I mean, you walk in that room, that big building, and that few people, and so many of them had been through so much. It was tough.
Well, and to see the turnaround that you saw there in your time at Dauphin Way, I mean, That speaks to the faithfulness of God. Now, you didn't have at the movies.
Yeah. Dolphin Way couldn't have handled at the movies. I mean, it was an historic church, and there's some of those old ways there you couldn't get around. But, you know, you can do the regular things, like right. The normal pastoral preaching, be nice, love people, work hard, and trust that the Lord will do something. And, you know, sometimes he will.
Yes.
And it turns out that that the Lord did provide, and in his kindness drew the church back together. Now, you know, I'm in a context now. I've been here 15 years and been trying to do the...
Hold that point, Clint, because we're up against a break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to the Southern Baptist Convention President, Clint Pressley. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Clint Pressley, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention and the pastor of Hickory Grove Baptist Church. We're talking about this subject, can a church go too far? If a church and a pastor wants to reach people for Jesus, that's a good thing. And as Paul said, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the good news. And he wanted to win people. And we need to have that kind of heart, that kind of passion. But evangelism is not the sole purpose of the church. Jesus said, you know, go and make disciples. And so, Clint, let me ask you that question. Is the church just supposed to be about evangelism, evangelism, evangelism? If that's the case, when do people grow?
Right. And, I think that goes to the purpose. What are we doing on Sunday? So what are we doing? And I would argue that we primarily gather on Sundays for the believers to worship, lift up the name of Christ, and those in our congregations that are not believers, because in the worship service, when they see Christ lifted up, they see other believers, they understand that they are on the outside and they want to be on the inside. I think God uses that to draw them to faith in Christ. So I think Sundays are reserved primarily for worship, and out of that worship is a natural outflow of evangelism. So mm-hmm. I do think that the church is on mission and we are called to be evangelists, but I think that I think if you put evangelism on the front of a Sunday, then if you will want to win people to Christ, you will do anything it takes, and therefore you find yourself doing things outside of what I think is outside of the bounds for Sunday morning.
Well, Clint, I think Southern Baptists have rightly been criticized for so many years where we gave an altar call. The service was all about the altar call. People coming forward, pray this prayer. You became a Christian, and now let's get you in the water. And that person may not understand what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, there's been in the last probably 15 to 20 years, a healthy kind of a correction to pointing toward genuine church membership, healthy church membership, getting our membership roles closer to what our attendance is, so that there is, you know, we have church members that are bearing fruit. Yeah, I came to Hickory Grove, there are 17,000 people on roll here that the FBI couldn't find.
Right.
And so there needs to be a corrective. What is the corrective to make sure that if you're going to be a pastor, you're responsible for these people, and in some loving way, holding them accountable to what they've professed as a baptized believer in Christ.
So, Clint, we were talking a little bit about Stephen Furtick. Elevation Church is based there in Charlotte, just however many miles from you, probably not too many, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's close.
And how is Elevation Church viewed in the Charlotte area?
Yeah. So when I came here in 2010, it was sort of when Elevation was really on the rocket on the way up. And Hickory Grove was experience really of people leaving here and going there. Because for so many years, Hickory Grove was kind of the new show in town. But the bad thing about being a new show in town is that at some point you're going to become the old show in town, and there's going to be a better new show in town.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Elevation was doing was actually very similar to what most of our students experience at summer camp. And Southern Baptist built Elevation because we trained our kids at summer camp, and now you can have that every single Sunday. And so many went there. It became a little bit of a phenomenon. And early on, we decided that Hickory Grove, we don't want to try to be a second best Elevation. We want to go the other direction. Mm-hmm. And so that there is a real clear distinction between, if you really enjoy what they do there, you probably won't enjoy what we do over here, mm-hmm. and vice versa, stylistically.
Yeah. Has that created problems for you?
I mean, I don't know. I got plenty of problems. I don't know if that created them or not. I got so many, I can't tell who created them. Probably me. And that's been, that's part of a, anytime there is a long-term transition and change, and I'm pressing toward sort of a gospel faithfulness centered on the gospel, high view of God, that takes time. And also, you gotta be willing to operate in the red a little bit. So yeah. When I went the Dolphin way, just did normal things, and the church, everything came back together in 6 years. It was great. Come to Hickory Grove and do normal things, and for the first probably 8 years, people lost their minds. And if you can stay in there with faithfulness and just doing the regular means of what you do as a pastor, preaching and leading and discipling, over the course of time, you build a stronger, longer lasting foundation.
Clint, let me ask you this. As a pastor, I think I know the answer, but I want to ask you anyway. You have, God uses all kinds of people, and there are some pastors that are extroverted and they love people, being with people. There are other pastors that are introverted. It's hard for them to be around people. How, as the church has grown for you, because I see you as a person that likes to engage with people. Not every pastor is like that. How does that affect you as you see the church grow? Because it's harder and harder to know the people and engage with all the people. You can do that with 200. It's hard to do that with 2,000.
No, it is. Then you have to find different ways to engage and either be accessible or try your best to seem to be accessible. So, like for me, Facebook or social media, Twitter, Instagram, I try to use those as a means of accessibility for our people. So they get to, look as what is that pastor doing during the week, which is, I lead a pretty boring life. I'll post stuff about a car, a dog, and something I read, and lifting weights. And that's about it, really. But I've tried to use social media in that regard. And then try to do the ministry of standing around with people as much as I possibly can, whether it's before service or after mm-hmm. service, touching, praying with as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when you do that, just that kind of word becomes a ministry to people, because mm-hmm. you see the same folks over the course of time. But it is hard. It's harder. You're not going to have the depth of relationship mm-hmm. with as many people. Or at least perceive. But the truth of the matter is, I've been in churches from, my first church, there were 38 people that voted on me. I've all sized churches, and you end up having just about the same number of close friends in every church. Mm-hmm. It just feels like it is a smaller church that everybody knows you. But you really, they don't.
Right. How do you, as we talk about these things, and the Spurgeon quote, I'm going to repeat it again, a time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. Now, that was said over 140 years ago, but it's true today. How do you, as those who want to be faithful to 2 Timothy to preach the word, Paul says to Timothy, the time's going to come where they will not endure sound doctrine. They were going to want to have their ears tickled. They'll accumulate from themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. So if you critique a church that's in your community or even outside of your community, especially in your position as the president of the Southern Baptist Convention? Do you seem like the church curmudgeon? Do you seem like, well, I'm up here and everybody else that doesn't do it my way is wrong?
Yeah, I think that there probably is some of that. And I think some of that is probably true. I think it's easy to criticize success if you're not succeeding. I think you want to be careful doing that. I think you want to do it on basis of what how do we understand how to do church. But I also think that it's good to provide a gentle warning to people. You know, the quote that you've mentioned with Spurgeon, what he used, the terminology was sheep and goats. Mm-hmm. And what he was doing was shepherding sheep and not entertaining goats being lost. Mm-hmm. And I think we can draw some principial approaches to church from what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And if you look at his sermons, how he did church membership, what kind of attractional, what was he using by way of attractionalism? Nothing. It's just preaching. I think you draw some principles from that. But I think we're right in actually providing, this is how we think we ought to do it. Those that are doing it, like, say, Elevation or Life Church or wherever, you know, I think you're within bounds saying, I think that's probably not the right way to do that. You, mm-hmm. you can do it without coming off angry.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I think that young guys listening to us, young pastors, they need to know, hey, you be faithful to the Lord. Preach the word.
Be faithful.
Do it in an engaging way. I mean, you
right.
don't get points for
it.
Being boring.
Right. Don't be a terrible preacher. It's terrible. Don't be lazy. Don't be boring. You know, don't be an idiot. Don't be mean.
Right.
Go ahead and love people and preach hard and get good at it.
Right. But this entertaining the goats, you know, when I see churches like going all out with so much time, so much energy, so many resources, there's a lot of money you put in to building Jurassic
right.
Park at your church.
Right.
Seems to me like you're missing the boat. That's not what we're supposed to be doing.
Right. No, I agree. I think that's another good point, especially as Southern Baptist with so much talk about missions, cooperative program, you know, we're trying to press people to turn their money outward. Now, I don't want to speak to motive. I think some of the churches we're talking about probably are motivated. They sincerely are motivated by
right.
winning people to Christ. And I think that's, you know, my beef is not going to be with their motivation. It's going to be with how it's carried out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's probably where the issue is.
Okay, Clint, let me ask you this. David Allen, Dr. David Allen, has a new book out on reclaiming Romans from
uh-oh.
Calvinism. I'm gonna have him on the program talking about that. Calvinism has seen a huge rise in the Southern Baptist Convention over the last 25-30 years. You went to Dauphin Way that had a strongly Calvinistic pastor that split the church. Where do you stand on Calvinism?
So I followed Steve Lawson, and his experience there, I would attest, had less to do with where he was theologically and more to do with what we were talking about earlier, is how he pastored and led the church. Mm-hmm. I think that his bigger problem wasn't theology. I think that it probably was personality and actual showing affection to the church. Now, as for me, where I am theologically, I have a really high view of God. I would be very comfortable being called Reformed. I think probably 4 days a week. The big problem with people is going to be limited atonement. I think I'm probably believe in definite atonement about 4 days a week and don't about 3 days a week. Otherwise, I rejoice in all the other. If you're using Tulip, I rejoice in the others.
Okay, so Clint, do you think that embrace that we've had in the Southern Baptist Convention over the years, do you think that has affected evangelism?
I think it possibly has. Actually, I you know, and I would be on the side that probably would embrace, but I think taken to the limit. Or not rightly informed. Like you take Spurgeon, he's going to be straight up 5-point Calvinist, but he was the most evangelistic preacher and leader and pastor of his age. Mm-hmm. And so why is it we have the exact same theology that he had, and it's not producing guys with the same zeal for evangelism that he had? What is the missing link? Mm-hmm. And it could be that, if you're not careful, being fully reformed, relying on the sovereignty of God, it keeps you, wrongly understood, it keeps you from working hard at evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think rightly understood, if you rightly understand it, you are going to work hard at evangelism.
Well, one of the things I had the experience of going to the Shepherd's Conference a few years ago, and John MacArthur was supposed to be the leadoff batter, so to speak, but he was not healthy enough to do that. So Steve Lawson was. Now, Steve Lawson is now out of the ministry because of moral failure. But Steve preached on Romans 9. And I listened, and I'm not a Calvinist, and I listened, and I just said, there's no hope in this message. So if I say, well, wait a minute, maybe I'm not elect, but I want to receive Christ, but I can't. That's my big problem with it. So I think it was Steve Gaines a few years ago came under the heading, I believe all people can be saved. You know, obviously it's God's work, but he's not excluding people. He wants people to come.
Right.
So anyway, that was my take on that. It was just like, this is not a hope-filled message if it's not.
I haven't heard him actually preach very many hope-filled messages, honestly.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't hope-filled. And I've heard John MacArthur say before, hey, it's a mystery because we know that God calls. Yeah. But we know that man's responsible for responding, and so how you fit those together is beyond what the human mind can understand.
That's what I appreciate so much about Spurgeon, honestly, was he's going to be a thoroughgoing Calvinist and preach with hope and affection and evangelism and pressing people to decide for Christ. I mean, if you listen to all of that, he comes off like Billy Sunday, and so. I appreciate that. I wish guys that are reformed would model themselves after that.
Yeah, very good. Well, we're talking to Clint Presley, the pastor of Hickory Grove Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Can churches go too far in their quest to see people come to Christ? Can they compromise the message and begin to entertain goats? That's our subject for today. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call and let's talk.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking to Clint Presley, the pastor of Hickory Grove Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. We've been talking about when churches go too far. They can have good motives, and we're not assigning bad motives to pastors who want to reach people for Christ, but sometimes those can seem to go out of bounds, and your church turns into a circus. As Charles Spurgeon said, a time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. You know, Clint, as I look at church, you know, church needs to be honoring, obviously honoring to the Lord Jesus, and it needs to, we have an environment where the Lord is welcome in this place and the Lord's honored in this place and he'd be glorified in this place. If we're going to be entertaining goats, that's going to be a place where the Holy Spirit would not feel comfortable at all.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, I think the argument from the other side would be, unless you're entertaining the goats in order to hit them with the gospel at the end or something like that. Like, I don't know how you get from having, you know, this at the movies, characters dressed up Ghostbusters or Super Mario. How do you get there from the actual gravity of the holiness of God, the sinfulness of man, the substitutionary atonement of Christ, the need for repentance and faith? I mean, that's a pretty abrupt switch.
Right. Yeah. I don't think you can bridge that gap. You know, the other thing too, just Clint, and I notice this if I visit other churches that are more along those lines, and they're growing like crazy, and the people seem to be very happy and excited and welcoming and loving. Yeah. All that stuff, but the sermons are application heavy, and it's like the John R.W. Stott book, Between Two Worlds. They really never go into the world of the biblical. They'll use the Bible to springboard into just all this application. And my critique has always been, if you're not grounding people in what did this mean to the hearers of the day and what was the Lord communicating to them, and then bridge it into our world, you're not giving them any strong peg to hang their hat on.
Right. And I think even as we look with a jaundiced eye at some of the churches that are doing, like at the movies, that sort of thing, I think it's fair also to look back to some of our own churches, guys that love the Bible, that will even claim to preach expositionally. I don't know how many times I've listened to our own stripe of preachers get up close to the gospel, assume the gospel, but never actually declare and share the gospel. Mm-hmm. So that someone could have gone through a really good Bible study, come out of church, and still not know how to become a Christian. And I think that's part of, you know, holding one hand, preaching the text, pointing to Christ, the holiness of God. But on the other hand, we make sure that whatever text we're dealing with, this is what Spurgeon did, whatever text it is, we go right to the cross of Christ and what that means for the sinner. And I think that is the way God saves people.
Right. Very good. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. And we have Dwayne on the line from Ohio. Dwayne, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
My question really is about why you don't have on someone to have a discussion with your friend David Allen, who I know you've had on several times talking about limited atonement, with someone like James White, who's willing to debate David Allen, and David Allen refuses to debate with him. I don't learn anything from monologuing, but from debates I learn. Mm-hmm. I want to hear different viewpoints and see how they handle the hypotheticals that are proposed to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I appreciate that, Dwayne. The format is not really, we're not really set up for a debate on the program, but I know James White is very strong on his opinions on things. I know Leighton Flowers has done debates on with Calvinists, coming from a Calvinist background to a non-Calvinist background. You know, I've had, obviously, Clint and I don't agree on certain things related to the tulip. Tom Askell and I don't agree on certain things related to the tulip. But there's a whole lot more that we do agree on. And what I appreciate personally about Calvinists is their strong view, high view of God, high view of Scripture. They don't back down off the Scripture. They don't fall off the rails into pragmatism, and they're wanting to do it the way God set it up, and they stand firm on, you know, the Lord is clear on certain things that we debate, you know, women pastors, things like that. Those guys have really held the line. I appreciate that. And so I'm very glad to call them brothers and warriors for the truth. And so, but I appreciate the call, and that's something obviously that we can consider. But I've had people of the Calvinist persuasion on the program, and I wasn't sure where Clint stood on that, but he made that clear. So we'll see about that. But I appreciate you calling in and asking about that, Dwayne. God bless you, brother. We have Joe on the line from Tennessee. Joe, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, brother, I'm one of your Tulip Pastor friends. I've got a question for Brother Clint.
Okay.
I'm concerned about the issue of women pastors. That was voted down, that position. How do we turn this table around?
All right, Clint.
Yeah, thanks, brother. I appreciate the question. And, you know, I've been concerned about it as well. That's why I was for what was known as the law amendment. I think the good thing is we have the Baptist Faith and Message that is very clearly complementarian, that the convention is overwhelmingly complementarian, that every time it comes to the floor, that a church that has a female pastor has been brought to the floor every single time, it's been overwhelmingly voted by the convention to withdraw fellowship from that church. So while I do think we can't take our eyes off of that, like we need to be vigilant and keep pressing, I don't think we're in a spot to panic because of it. Our convention, if there are 47,000 or so Southern Baptist churches and their pastors, is overwhelmingly complementarian. That doesn't mean we don't, you know, it's like inerrancy. You can't quit talking about inerrancy. I don't think we need to quit talking about it, but I'm not sure how to better equip I think the problem falls with the Credentials Committee, and because they're great people on the Credentials Committee. But with the giving actual, very clear guidelines. And that's why I was for the law amendment, because I felt like it gave very clear guidelines. So right. I think that's where some of the breakdown is.
Right. Very good. Well, I appreciate that question. We have John on the line from Louisiana. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, I think we need to preach whatever is in the Bible. Now, it's true that in John 17, four times Jesus says he's praying and for the Father has given him. Mm-hmm. He said in John 6:44 that no man can come to me unless the Father draw him. Mm-hmm. But we need to recognize this is true. We need to recognize whosoever will. We need to preach the gospel of what Jesus has done for us, who we are as sinners, the regular message, and let that be. But we're not there to confuse people. We're there to believe both sides, and if they seem to be contradictory, then so be it, because we are not going to eradicate what the Bible says in Revelation 22:19, that if he will take away those who take away his words, then they will take away his part out of the book of life. So we need to believe both sides and let God work, but our preaching and teaching needs to emphasize whosoever will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good point. I would agree with that, John. And I think that, you know, that's the Spurgeon method, wouldn't you say, Clint?
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, John MacArthur is in the news because he's on really close to crossing over to heaven, and we're praying for him. What a great man of God. That guy has helped me understand Scripture in ways that other people haven't. But I appreciate the fact he's a 5-point Calvinist, but he does say exactly what John said. Hey, the Bible does say you're responsible, but God chooses. But so how that works together is a mystery.
And that's why
can't
I give every single sermon. I'll give an invitation, an altar, you know, a call to repent and believe in Christ. Mm-hmm. A genuine. I'm pressing people. You need to decide to give your life to Jesus.
Right. I think that's wise. We have Demetrius on the line from Texas. Demetrius, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
How are you doing, guys? Good to hear from you guys over the radio.
Thank you. Go ahead. And,
I guess my comment is that, you know, like the Puritans were real heavy-handed on talking about sin, and reformers were real heavy-handed on God's grace and his holiness. And then you got heavy on evangelicals spreading the gospel. And a lot of times I think we're pushing people away or pushing one another away when we should be using each other and saying, you know, these brothers are very heavy-handed on talking about sin, which that's not spoken of a lot in today's pulpit either. But the reformers, you know, they're heavy-handed with the grace and heavy-handed with the holiness of God. All of that is true. And yet at times we kind of fight with each other a little bit and kind of push each other away, like, you know, no, we need to stick with this. We need, you know, and sometimes that pushes people away to find another way to try to reach the people instead of sticking to the truth. I'm agreeing with what Spurgeon says. I'm a five-pointer, but I also hear what Clark is saying as far as, like, we need to be out here evangelizing still. Even though I'm a five-pointer, we need to be out here preaching the gospel to people. They're the ones that are lost. We're already saved. You know, I'm right. And I'm gonna leave you with this. I've done all my studying in prison. I did 25 years in federal prison, and I'm a five-pointer. Our heavy hitters for today was Sproul, John MacArthur, yourself, Clark. You know, who's gonna rise up to be our titans for this day and time? You know, and I'll leave you guys with that. I'd love to hear your comments on that.
All right, thanks, Demetrius.
Amen.
Clint, anything to mention about that?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I speak from a Southern Baptist perspective, and with the Baptist Faith and Message, I think that you have a statement of faith that is very clear. It's right down the line, not leaning hard one way or the other when it comes to being reformed or non-reformed, and has drawn a pretty tight circle around the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. And I think this brother's point is well taken, is let's draw a tight circle. This is what we believe, which is Orthodox Christianity. Now we need to not be fighting about this every single day. Southern Baptist Convention, and that's my perspective, should be turning outward, taking this great gospel message to those that don't have it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, thanks, Demetrius. I appreciate your call. So, Clint, let me ask you, in your last year as Southern Baptist president, you normally serve 2 years, and so you're in your second year.
Right.
What would you like to accomplish this year?
Yeah, I think that you know, we hopefully calmed the waters a bit over this last convention and the year leading up to it. I'd like to have that same sort of approach and keep putting our attention on actually getting back to the real mission of evangelism, church planting, sending missionaries. That's the only reason we're together. So mm-hmm. Let's make sure we're actually doing those things and doing them well and having the churches call. You know, I found myself here lately starting to offer in the invitation a call to young men to surrender to preach. I'm mm-hmm. gonna start doing that sort of thing again. So I think we're back on message, and I'd like for us to stay there.
Yeah. So you're encouraged or discouraged?
I'm pretty well encouraged. You know, I'm very thankful for it, and I like being a Southern Baptist. So, but I, that may be a natural disposition. I don't know, but I feel pretty good about, you know, where we're going and who we are.
All right. So we just have about another minute and a half. Let me ask you this. So when you were at Dauphin Way, that had to be a move of God to go there because you knew what condition the church was in.
Yeah, right. Right.
So how did you not get discouraged there?
I think the spiritual disciplines helped me a lot, and running in these deep ruts. If I can, you know, in the mornings and the evenings, dig the deep ruts of a routine in my life, and the chaos is between those two, I can handle it if I have the morning right and the evening right. I had a wife that believed in me. I was young enough that if I'm young enough and I'm the chaplain to put this thing in the ground, I can still go do something else.
Yeah.
That helped. You know, I don't know that I would feel like that now, but back then I was just 41 or so. So, yeah.
Right. Right. Well, I stand in awe of you turning that thing around. Obviously, the Lord did it, but he used you to do it because that's a very, very difficult assignment. And so God bless you, brother. Thanks for coming on today, man. Clint. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, you, brother.
Thank you. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Listen, as you think about your church, no church is perfect, but the church needs to be exalting the Savior, edifying the saints, and evangelizing the sinner. Those three things are important, and they need to have good balance. So go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.